بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الأمور أوساطها أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us all with great love and reverence recite durood upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Amma ba'd. Ulama-i kiram, respected elders and dear brothers, we cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough for this beautiful deen of Islam. We are the fortunate human beings in this universe, past, present, past and present, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the best of His books, and that is the Holy Quran. They were Allah's books that came in the past. They were also divine. They were also by revelation. But the best of all the books is the Holy Quran, and Allah has given us the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many guides for the guidance of mankind in the past. 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. Each one of them, outstanding personalities, but Allah gave us the best of all the personalities, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can never ever make enough shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala made us unworthy servants of His, to be the addressees of the Holy Quran, and to be the followers of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for which we have to make profuse shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us all say alhamdulillah wa shukru lillah. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently for this favor alone, that Allah has made us from this greatest of all the ummahs, the best of all the ummahs. And it comes with its sense of responsibility, that when Allah gave us this privilege, then it comes with a sense of responsibility and accountability, and that is where we have to make our life in conformity with the teachings of this beautiful Quran and in conformity with the teachings of the seerah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the true appreciation, and this is the fulfillment of the amana and the trust and responsibility that has been placed upon us. My dear friends, as we know, that this is the season in which there is excessive discussions relating to the seerah and the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it was in this month of Rabiul Awwal that a number of events of the seerah are associated and attached to this month. For example, the very birth of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the demise of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and most importantly, the hijrah of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also associated with the month of Rabiul Awwal, because it was on the very first of Rabiul Awwal that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his beloved and trusted companion Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu undertook the journey of the hijrah. So, of course, the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mighty ocean. It is so vast that no one can encompass the seerah. All we can do is take a few handfuls of water from this mighty ocean and try to quench our thirst and try to benefit ourselves. So there's a lot in the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From his birth till his death, the entire period of 63 years, the events are immense, and the lessons to be derived and the inspirations to be taken are countless. And it never comes to an end. The seerah is a perennial topic. Therefore we say it should never be confined to one month of the year or few days of that month. It is a perennial topic. It is a topic that needs to be discussed year in, year out. And we can never get tired of discussing the seerah. 1440 years of after Hijrah have passed, but there is no holding back. The authors who continue to write on the subject matter of the seerah, every other day some book is appearing, even now, on the subject matter of the seerah. We can never exhaust the subject. We can never say that now enough has been written, there's no scope for writing anymore. No, the seerah continues to be written upon, and it will continue till the end of time. In every language of the world, in prose and poetry, academic works, general works, works from a particular angle, there are so many facets of the seerah that man will never get tired of writing on the seerah, nor will people get tired of speaking about the seerah, nor will anyone get tired about listening to the seerah or reading about the seerah, and this will continue till the end of time. In reality, my dear friends, when we speak about the greatness of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we express the praises of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are not doing him a favor. Allah has already elevated him to a level that if no one in the creation praises him, he's already been the praised one. His very name Muhammad means the one who is most praised, the one who is worthy of the highest praises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this name for him. This name was inspired to his grandfather and his mother. Never in the history of the Arab nation was this name ever used before. This is the unique name that was used for him. And after that, of course, his ummah, out of the love they have for him, this name became so popular that it is the most popular name in the world. There is no name as popular as the name Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live up to the name. If we got the name, then we should live up to the name so that we do not bring discredit to the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah has already praised him. We become worthy of praise by praising him. Like a poet said very beautifully in the Arabic language, Ma in madahtu Muhammadan bimaqalati, Ma in madahtu Muhammadan bimaqalati, walakin mudihat maqalati bimuhammadi. I have not been able to praise Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he is supposed to be praised in my words, but my words have become worthy of praise because of the mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my words. So my dear friends, the seerah is an ocean. There are so many aspects to be discussed. However, today I will try to confine my discussion to one very important principle of the Sharia, a very important and golden principle of the Sunnah, very important principle of the Seerah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a very much required principle that needs to be applied in our day-to-day lives, and Muslims should become the embodiment and the projection of this particular principle. in this particular teaching, this particular value of the seerah, and that is the quality of moderation, and the quality of balance, and the quality of taking the middle paths. This is one of the cornerstones of the teachings of the Quran, the Sharia, the Sunnah, the Seerah. We see glaringly this principle comes out every time, that it is about taking the middle path. It is taking the path of balance and moderation. This is what this beautiful deen is based upon. And when we take that path, then we will see beauty in our life, and we will spread beauty around the society and the world we live in when we take this path of balance and moderation, the middle path. So much is the emphasis on the middle path that there are several ayats of the Quran and many ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the subject. Every aspect of our life, to the extent the Quran says that even your walk must be in moderation. Don't walk so fast that people laugh at you, and don't walk so slow that as if there's nothing else to be done in the world, but take a middle path between the two. Our walking, our talking, our laughing, our joking, our eating, our sleeping, our earning, our spending, our social life, our friendship, our marital life, our political life, every aspect and facet of our life should be governed by this principle of moderation. Just to, first of all, understand what is moderation. Moderation can be defined as keeping between the two extremes. Not to fall into any of the extremes, but one extreme is what is called ifrat, and one extreme is called tafrit. To exaggerate and do things over the limit, that is an extreme. And to do less than what is required is another extreme. In Arabic, the two words are used, ifrat and tafrit. And the middle part is what is called the wasatiyya. And we are the ummah of the middle path, and therefore we should take the path of moderation and balance, and the middle path, and take this path in whatever we do. This should be our guiding principle. Now we take the Quranic verses, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this principle in so many ayats of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ukulu washrabu," eat and drink. There's no prohibition. Eat, drink, but the middle path, wala tusrifu, don't overdo it. Don't overeat and don't undereat. Take the middle path. Eat what is sufficient for your survival. Eat what is required for your energy and strength. But don't overeat, don't undereat. Take the middle path. Kulu washrabu wala tusrifu. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding our mannerism of walking. Waqsid fi mashyik. Waqdud min sawtik. Walk with moderation, as I explained earlier on. Don't walk so fast like Johnny Walker. We're walking so fast that person becomes a laughing stock of the people in the town. And nor should we walk so slow, but take a middle path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, even with regards to our acts of ibadah, that وَأَنْفِقُوا وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا وَلَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people who are generous, those who are charitable. Allah mentions regarding them, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا, when they spend, لَمْ يَقْتُرُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They take the middle path and the path of balance and moderation. Even when it comes to charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا, they don't overspend. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, they don't underspend. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا, they take the middle path. That a person doesn't give so much of charity that now he himself becomes deserving of charity. And he doesn't give so little that the needs of the community are not fulfilled, but he takes the middle path and he takes the balanced path. Quran says that don't spend so much that now you yourself start stretching your hand out for charity to other people. Nor should you spend so little that the needs of the community are not fulfilled. We take the middle path, the balanced path, even when it comes to charity. So a good action like charity is also governed by this principle of balance and moderation. We find elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions even an aspect of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكْ وَلَا تُخَافِدْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِ بَيْنَ ذَلِكْ. Don't read so loud that you are reading so loud now that it causes a disturbance. Don't read so soft that you can't even hear what you are reading. But take the middle path between the two. So again we see Quran is emphasizing the principle of the middle path and balance and moderation in what we do. When it comes to our overall outlook of things in this world, our balance between dunya and akhirah, this is a very difficult balance that people don't seem to get right. Many a people are grappling and struggling to get the balance right between dunya and akhirah. We must not tilt on either side. A person tilts so much towards the dunya that he forgets akhirah and he becomes only of dunya and earning dunya and spending dunya and using dunya and enjoying dunya that he forgets all about the akhirah. That is one extreme. The other extreme is a person becomes so engrossed in the aspects of akhirah that now he forgets the needs of dunya, the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon him insofar as his own self is concerned. Inna li nafsika alayka haqqa. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your own body and your soul has a right on you. Wa inna li aynika alayka haqqa. Your eyes have a right over you. Wa inna li jasadika alayka haqqa. Your body has a right over you. Wa inna li zawjika alayka haqqa. Your wife has a right over you. Wa inna li zawrika alayka haqqa. Your guests have a right over you. So there are rights of people around us, our own right, the rights of people around us. We should not neglect these rights in the pursuance of our goal of akhirah. Subhanallah. We see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained this beautiful balance and how to strike this balance between dunya and akhirah. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us that وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the story of Qarun, as we know, Qarun was a multi-billionaire, trillionaire. No wealthy people of the world, past, present and future, will be able to equal the wealth of Qarun, because Allah has spoken about the wealth of Qarun in the Quran. Bill Gates and company will appear like paupers in front of the wealth of Qarun. Such was his wealth that Allah speaks about the wealth of Qarun in the Quran. That so much of wealth he had, that leave alone the treasure itself, the keys to the locks of those safes and treasures used to weigh so heavy that many camel loads were needed to carry the keys. We're not talking about what is inside the safe and what is inside the treasury itself. But after mentioning the whole story of Qarun and how he was so enamored of this world and he was so drunk and intoxicated in his love for dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives the principle of the balance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this ayat after the incident of Qarun to show how to strike the balance, that don't be like Qarun, that dunya becomes your maqsad and your objective and your very purpose of life on earth. But strike the balance. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. What Allah has given you, use some parts of it to earn your akhirah. Invest in the akhirah. Make your investments for the hereafter. Put your awqaf. Make your waqafs. Create channels of sadqa jariya for yourself after you leave this world. Invest in various investments of the akhirah. Secure your ROI, your return on the investment of the akhirah. Make sure that you don't neglect your bank account of akhirah and that you continue to receive your revenue for akhirah when you leave this world. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But don't forget your share of this worldly life too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take the balance part. Don't spend everything that now you left empty-handed and you left as a pauper in this world and you have to look to others for help and charity. But وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Secure your needs of this world too. Strike the middle part. Take the balance part. A sahabi, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, became very ill and he was on his dying bed, apparently. I say apparently because he recovered, mashallah, and he lived for many years after that. He outlived many sahaba. But that time it appeared that he was at the end of his life. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions came to visit him. Visit the sick and the ill is a great sunnah. So now Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala is worried. And their akhirah was foremost in their mind. So he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh Allah's Nabi, I have wealth. But I want to give my wealth now in the path of Allah. I want to give it away in charity. To give everything away. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. So he said, okay, then I would like to give 2/3. He said no. He said, all right, I'll give half. He said no. Then he said, a thuluth, I will give 1/3. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then agreed and he said, "Ath-thuluth wa thuluthu kathir." Even 1/3 is a lot, but fine, you have permission to give 1/3. Thereafter, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained a beautiful principle. And he said, "Innaka antadhara aalataka." If you leave your family empty-handed and you leave them poverty-stricken, and you leave them as paupers, that is not good. You should leave behind for them so that they do not have to stretch their hands out to somebody after you leave this world. So we see the beautiful balance Islam struck. That yes, give in charity. You are allowed to give in your lifetime as much as you want. And give in good causes. But let it not be that you gave so much that you left nothing for your family. You left nothing behind for your wife and children. That tomorrow they need to stretch their hands out in front of others. This is not the spirit of Islam. The spirit of Islam teaches us the part of balance and moderation, even when it comes to this aspect of leaving behind something for our family. My dear friends, there are many, many other verses of Quran that can illustrate this principle. But now let us look at some of the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the subject matter of balance and moderation. First of all, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions khairul umuri awsatuha. The best of approaches as far as anything in life is concerned, the best approach is the middle path approach. The approach of moderation and balance, that is the best outlook and principle that one should adopt as far as all aspects of life are concerned. On one occasion, 3 sahaba were speaking amongst themselves about a part of action of life they wanted to choose for themselves. So one of them said, "Ama inni uft ana asumu wala uftiru. I will fast one way and I will not stop fasting. That will be my way of ibadah, that I will fast consecutively day in, day out, the whole year through. And I will not stop fasting." The next one said, "Ana usalli wala arqudu. I will read salah the whole night and I will not sleep at all." And one of them said, "Ana a'tazilu nisa. I won't marry. I will lead a life of celibacy. I will lead a life as a single person. And this will be my way of ibadah." And they mentioned it in such a manner that when it was mentioned to them that this is not the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his ibadah, ka'annahum taqalluha. They felt that they could do more in so far as ibadah is concerned. So the matter was brought to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed about this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed his companions and he said to them, "This path that you have chosen is not the correct path. If you want to choose a path, choose my path. What is my path? Inni asumu wa uftiru. Sometimes I fast and sometimes I do not fast. Wa inni usalli wa arqudu. Sometimes I read salah at night and sometimes I sleep. Wa atazawwaju nisa. I marry. Marriage is my sunnah." We hear normally this hadith mentioned, "An nikahu min sunnati, faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." This part of "faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni" was mentioned with regard to this incident. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is my way. I take the balanced part. I sleep, I make ibadat. I fast, sometimes I eat. I marry. This is my sunnah. Faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. He who shuns my sunnah and he takes the path of extremism, this person is not on my sunnah." This is the context in which it was mentioned. Those sahaba gave up their intention and they said, "No, for us the path of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this path of balance and moderation is the correct path." My dear friends, Isa alayhi salam, great Nabi of Allah, Yahya alayhi salam, great Nabi of Allah, Yahya alayhi salam used to weep a lot. He used to cry so much that people used to feel sorry for him. Isa alayhi salam used to smile and smile and smile all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to both of them. And Allah ta'ala said, Oh Yahya, do not cry so much that my servants lose hope in my mercy. And Oh Isa, do not smile so much that my servants become bold with regard to my mercy. Strike the balance and the middle path. And that is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned beautifully, "Al-Imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja." Iman is between hope and fear. We have to strike the balance between hope and fear. Not so much of fear that we lose hope, and not so much of hope that we become fearless with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might and power. So we see that the golden principle is the principle of moderation and balance. There are many, many other such aspects that can be mentioned because time has run out, my dear friends. I conclude on this note that let this become the guiding principle of our life. Young and old, men and women, the whole ummah should come onto this principle of balance and moderation. And inshallah, when we strike the middle path and we walk the middle path, we will enjoy peace and serenity in this world, and the world will be a world of peace and serenity. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.